led me to believe that technologically advanced beings might have been present in the area several millennia ago.
You knew? Who else was aware of this?
I knew nothing. I suspected. When the NSA granted funding to your research project in Chicago, I became aware of your childhood discovery, and I immediately took an interest. More than anything, I saw this project as a potential legacy. What I do, it takes a particular mindset. It is not unlike law enforcement in that regard. I started out thinking I could remove the bad from the world one piece at a time until there was none left. The world, unfortunately, does not work that way. Perhaps it needs a certain equilibrium to function properly. Whatever the reason, it soon became obvious that what I had set out to do was very much like digging a hole in the mud. Remove a bad man from power, and a year later the person you put in his place is just as corrupt. If a policeman stops a drunken man from beating on his wife, what are the odds he will never have to go back? Can he really prevent anything, or is he just delaying the inevitable? I came to realize that good and evil were out of my reach. That time was the only thing I had any control over. I could buy time, create intervals. I could not truly make the world a better place, but I could make part of it a better place for a short while. I came to peace with that. Some cannot. As I said, it takes a particular mindset. But as you grow older, you realize there will come a time you cannot keep digging. And the idea that your hole in the mud will fill itself completely, as if you never existed, becomes harder to bear. Permanence is the holy grail in my line of work. I saw this as an opportunity to leave a mark.
If you could go back in time...
Perhaps I could.
That's true. Do you wish things had been different?
Besides the world coming to an end?
That's not what I meant. Would you rather have lived a normal life?
I wish my son had never died. I wish my wife was still here. If I could not change that, I would probably choose the same path. It has not always been easy, but overall, I believe I have done more good than harm.
I guess that's all any of us can ask for.
I do have one regret.
What's that?
I wanted someone to continue what I started. I did not know that I would run out of time. I had hoped to find a successor, to take someone... under my wing. I was looking for...
a son.
Perhaps. I wanted to leave some form of legacy. For a while, I thought Mr. Couture was a good candidate.
He could still do it.
He has a family now, a child. He has too much to lose. I was saying I thought Mr. Couture was a good candidate, until I realized... you were the ideal one.
Me?
It had to be you. You are intelligent, dedicated. You do not have a family, and you have expressed no desire for one. When I first met you, you were too naive, too fragile. But since your reappearance, you have become more resilient, less...
I tried to kill myself.
A momentary lapse in judgment. I meant to say you have become less vulnerable to what the world has to throw at you. I can tell you that your former self would not have remained as collected as you were these past few days.
I don't give a shit anymore. Is that what you're trying to say?
I said that you could replace me. That was never meant as a compliment.
I couldn't do what you do. I'm not James Bond.
I was not looking for someone to blackmail world leaders. I wanted my replacement to safeguard the Themis files, preserve a record of these world-changing events. That said, I have accumulated a tremendous amount of sensitive information. If you knew what I knew, you could get what you want from just about anyone.
Thank you for thinking of me.
I am sorry to interrupt, but it appears we have run out of things to climb on. Shall we stand?
It's all over my feet. Do you feel anything?
Not at the moment.
What will happen to them, your files?
I do not know. Everything I collected in my... I hesitate to call it a career, is on a hard drive in a safe deposit box. The key and access card are in my jacket pocket. I can only hope that whoever recovers our bodies has a curious mind and an adventurous spirit. Most recent files are on a thumb drive, also in my jacket. Figuring out the password should be easy with this recording.
What is it?
The name of my son.
Tell me something more about you.
What do you want to know?
I don't know. Anything. Tell me how you met Eugene. You two seem to be close.
That is a very interesting story, but also a very long one. It was an honor knowing you, Dr. Franklin.
Sir? Sir?
File number 1588. Mission Log. Vincent Couture, Consultant, Earth Defense Corps. Location, EDC Headquarters, New York, New York.
This is Vincent Couture. I am in the control room next to Hangar 1. Everyone's gone. I sent them to UN Headquarters. They'll be safe on the top floors if they get there in time. I hope Rose makes it. She was in the lab when the robot appeared. That's a lot farther from the main building. I'm taking the backup drives from the safe. Some comm gear. I'm not sure what else I can grab before I head out. Hopefully the building won't be destroyed and it doesn't matter. I wish I could fight that thing. A lot of people have died already, but it's different when it's home. Our neighbors. The dry cleaning guy across the street. I wonder if any of them will survive. Probably not. I feel bad that I have a way out and they don't. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I even feel sorry for the asshole at the coffee shop who keeps hitting on Kara. I'm heading to Hangar 1 now. I'll take Themis up north in case that robot decides to rip her apart. Oh, crap. I almost forgot. Gotta make a quick stop by her lockers. Kara left some personal stuff in hers, an old picture of her mom, some trinkets I gave her. I have a signed picture of David Prowse in mine. Oh, and my wedding ring's in there. That's why I'm going. If I die out here, tell my wife I went back for my wedding ring. She'll be impressed.
She'll think you're a complete idiot.
Kara? Is that you? Oh, my God. Come here. You're crazy.
Okay, stop. You're choking me.
Sorry.
Vincent, meet Eva. Eva, this is Vincent. Vincent, you okay?
Yeah.
Then say something. Either of you.
It's nice to meet you, Eva. Would you like to see Themis?
She's here?
I'll take that as a yes.
Vincent, there's a lot I need to tell you.
I know. Our friend filled me in.
That asshole.
Later. We really need to go. There's a big robot shooting poisonous gas about a mile away from here. Eva, it's this way.
How long do we have?
I don't know. It travels fast. 3 minutes, maybe. Is she...
I can't say for sure. She kind of looks like me, don't you think?
Not kinda. It's a bit eerie.
Shh. She's right behind us.
Does she know?
No, I haven't told her. She's been through enough already. She's a bit dark.
How dark? Dark, like her favorite band is The Cure, or I'm an abomination, I should be burned alive, Rose Dark?
She's not what you'd expect. One minute she's a normal 10-year-old, the next it's like...
Like what?
She talks about people dying, how they felt. She's... dark. She saw her parents die.
Poor kid.
Yeah. The Russians got there before me. Three men broke in the middle of the night. They killed her parents right in front of her.
Where did you find her?
In Haiti.
Haiti? How the hell did you end up there?
I knew they couldn't take her back on a commercial flight, and there are no private planes there with Russian tags. I figured they'd hop islands and fly out of Cuba. My plan was to go from port to port, hoping someone would remember three big men with a weird accent. I got lucky on the first try, right there in San Juan. They had chartered a boat to the Dominican Republic. I ran into the captain's wife on the docks. I caught up to them at Punta Cana and followed them across the island all the way to Port-au-Prince.
How'd you get her back? Please tell me you didn't fight three KGB agents.
I think they were mercs. And no, I paid the Haitian police to arrest them. That reminds me, we don't have any money left.
Oh, great. My wife spent all our savings on crooked cops.
Not all of it. I had to rent a car.
Whoa.
Yep, here we are. She looks bigger in person, doesn't she? How'd you like to go inside, Eva?
Really?
Yep, for real. Let's go for a ride.
Are you sure we can walk Themis away from here? We can't fight with Eva on board.
Oh, we're not walking. There are a few things I need to tell you, too. By the way, how could you leave while I was missing?
I thought she was in danger.
And not me? I was stuck at the bottom of the ocean.
Really?
Yeah, but my point was...
I didn't know what to do. All I did was watch other people trying to find you. I was in the way. I felt... Shit.
What?
The elevator doesn't work.
I was afraid of that. I think the power went out like 5 minutes ago.
But the lights are on.
Yeah, I heard the generator kick in when I walked in the control room. I guess the elevator isn't on it. You know what that means?
Can you do it?
We're about to find out. Every time we go up the elevator, I look at that ladder and I think, who would be stupid enough to climb up that thing?
Eva, the elevator doesn't work, so we'll have to climb up that big ladder. Vincent will go first. You follow him.
Why do I need to go first?
Trust me, Vincent. If you have someone's feet too close to your head, you'll want to look down, and you don't want to look down.
I'm scared.
That makes two of us, Eva.
Vincent's afraid of heights. You'll have to keep him calm. Go, Vincent. We don't have all day. Okay, now it's your turn, Eva. Just keep your eyes on Vincent. I'll be right behind you.
How high is the hatch again?
Think about something else. You said you were at the bottom of the ocean?
I'm not sure if talking about the time I thought I was going to die is the best thing to keep me from thinking about how I'm going to die.
Never mind, then. Are your palms sweaty? Those bars can get slippery when they're wet.
Ha ha, very funny. Eva, how do you say asshole in Spanish?
Don't answer that, Eva. He just wants some attention. Speaking of assholes, Vincent, you said Mr. Warm and Fuzzy filled you in?
Yeah, he did. I think he felt bad you had to learn all of this from Ryan, of all people.
Fuck him.
I told him you'd be mad.
I'm not mad. I just don't want to see him again. Ever.
Good. Glad I was wrong. I hate it when you're angry.
You're not? He lied to you too, you know.
He didn't exactly... You know what? We're being rude. Let's talk about something else. Eva, I don't know the first thing about you. Tell me something, anything.
I don't...
Come on! It'll keep your mind off that ladder. Never mind that. It'll keep my mind off that ladder. I don't know about you, but I'm scared shitless in a really manly way. Tell me something interesting.
Do you know who I was named after?
I'd say... Eva Perón.
Eva's from Puerto Rico, Vincent, not Argentina.
I was named after a robot.
That is interesting.
Oh, yeah. You have his attention now.
I was born on the day of the parade, when the EDC was created. My parents were the biggest geeks ever, huge science fiction fans. Themis was the greatest thing they'd ever seen. They wanted to name me after her, but they somehow thought everyone would start naming their kid Themis. So they named me after another big robot.
A robot?
Yes.
Eva is a common name in Spanish, but apparently it's also the name of a giant robot from a Japanese anime they really liked. It's all. I never saw it.
Eva is for Evangelion? That is so cool.
Of course Vincent knows all about it.
Yeah. It's awesome, but ours is bigger.
Eva, I think you have a fan now.
We have it on DVD, you know.
Oh, do we?
Yep.
Okay, okay. If Eva's never seen it, we can watch it together. He's smiling, isn't he?
Yes. So is you.
I guess I am.
Well, it's not as cool as being named after a giant robot, but I was also named after a TV character.
Really? Who?
Ron Perlman, with makeup. My mom told me once how much she liked watching Beauty and the Beast while she was pregnant with me. It was in French, of course, and whoever dubbed Linda Hamilton had a really phony accent. But my mom loved it when she called the Beast by name. Oh, Vincent. That's where she got the name.
How come you never told me that?
I kind of forgot, to be honest.
Your parents named you after the Beast. That's strange.
Oh, I said that's where my mom got the name. I'm sure she never told my dad. He never would have gone along with that. Though I can't imagine my father spending much time looking for baby names. She was probably on her own for this.
Hey, guys, there's white stuff storming into the room below us.
Shit.
That's what I thought. Vincent, can you pick up the pace a little?
I'm going as fast as I can. How fast is the room filling with gas?
Well, it's higher than it was a second ago. I'd say fast. Eva, try to go a little... It's okay. I got you.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Your shoe almost tore my ear off, but I'll live.
Is everyone all right? I don't want to look down.
We're fine, Vincent. Keep climbing. Go, Eva. Go. I'll catch you if you fall.
Kara?
Yes?
You should take my place. I'll go behind you.
We're almost there, Eva. Vincent, a couple more and that's it.
I'm at the top. I can't reach the hatch.
It's a couple feet away. You have to hold on with one hand.
I can't.
Sure you can. Hold on with your left hand and stretch your right arm.
I can't reach it.
You have to look, Vincent. Hurry. There, just a bit to the right. You got it. Now climb down one step and grab the ledge.
I'm scared.
You got this. Let go of your left hand and push with your legs. Hard. Yes, you got it. Climb in and I'll give you Eva. Eva, I want you to lean against the shaft. Put your legs on that bar here and let me climb between you and the ladder. See, I got you. Vincent, we're running out of time. I'm going to hold her with my right arm and give her to you. You have to grab her.
Hurry, the smoke's right below you.
I know. Are you ready? Ready, Eva? Go. Grab her, grab her. Do you have her?
Yes. Come on, Eva. Get inside.
There's no time, Vincent. Close the hatch behind her.
Kara, don't be stupid. Come on, Eva. Pull yourself in. I have to get past you to get Kara. Hold on, Kara. I'm coming.
There's no time.
Yes, there is. Just one sec.
You're a father now. Take care of her.
No, don't!
I love you.
Don't close the hatch, Kara! No!
Stop!
Kara! Eva, move out of the way.
No, don't.
I said move!
We'll die if you open that door.
That's your mother out there!
I know, but she's gone now.
Part 4. Next of Kin. File number 1591. Personal Journal Entry. Vincent Couture, Consultant, Earth Defense Corps.
Don't be stupid. That's the last thing I told Kara. The last thing I said to my wife. I didn't say, I love you. I told her she was an idiot. Doesn't make sense. That's not how it was supposed to go. She's not supposed to be dead. All I had to do was to get inside Dimmy's a second sooner, climb a little faster. That's not how it was supposed to happen. I swore I would never let anyone down because I wasn't strong enough. But I was afraid, and I wasn't fast enough, and now she's dead. She knew. She knew before we started climbing. That's why she went last. I shouldn't have been there to begin with. I should have been with her. I was the one who... I told her a million times how much I wanted children. She thought I couldn't go, so she went after our child. What did I do? Nothing. I found out and I stayed behind. I didn't go help my wife. I didn't go find my daughter. They said they were sending someone, and I said, okay. I'm a coward. I'm a fraud. Certainly not a dad. What a joke. I'm nothing. Parents are supposed to protect their children. I can't do that. I couldn't protect my wife. I never could. She was the one protecting me. That kid ran out of parents the moment Kara closed that hatch. Crazy thing is, I would have opened it again. I would have opened that hatch without hesitation, and we'd all be dead. I would have killed my wife and my daughter on the same day, but Eva stopped me. She's 10, and she saved me. I don't know how I convinced myself I could do this. In my mind, it was so... It was about me. I'd hold my baby girl and be filled with pride seeing how safe she felt in my arms. I would show her the things I knew about the world, and she'd listen wide-eyed and smiling. I'd be there for her when she needed me, and it would feel good to be there for her. And I'd never yell, and I'd listen, and I'd feel great about seeing how happy she was. I'd be a great dad. We'd be a great family, like the Tremblays across the street when I was 8 years old. Their kid was my age, and he played baseball, and he was good at it. His parents never fought, or so I thought. And they were always smiling. We weren't friends, but I went over for a few hours. One summer, he had a pool. We ate KFC in the middle of the afternoon. I wanted to be him. I wanted his family. Maybe that's what I've been chasing the whole time. Kara knew what it would be like. She knew what it would take, and she knew I wasn't ready. She'd have been better off with Ryan. I hate that asshole more than anyone in the world, but maybe that's why. He wouldn't have climbed slow, and he wouldn't have climbed first. He'd have carried them both if he had to. Now the world is ending. Somehow I've managed to make that about me, too. Millions of people are dead, so my grief isn't that special. But I've killed the one person who was needed to save the world. Timmy's can't fight anymore. She's a paperweight now. I do my best to avoid going outside. I can't stand to look at her. I can't bear the thought of walking into that sphere and seeing Kara's gear hanging from the ceiling. I always had my back to her in there, but I could feel her presence behind me. I would follow her voice, her breathing. There's no Timmy's without Kara. I'm useless here now. I can't help Rose. I can't help Eva. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
File number 1593. Discourse to the United Nations General Assembly. Brigadier General Eugene Govender, Commander, Earth Defense Corps. Location, UN Headquarters, Geneva, Switzerland.
Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, members of the General Assembly, ladies and gentlemen, I am here today to tell you... Oh, to hell with my notes! I was asked to provide a summary of our current situation, but you already know we're in deep shit. We're up to our eyeballs in it. There are 13 alien robots on Earth. All of them have the ability to transport themselves anywhere on the planet in a nanosecond. They can also release a gaseous substance that kills almost instantly. 99.95% of the human population in a 20-mile radius, all in a matter of minutes. I should point out it only kills humans. Cats, birds, bugs, they're all fine. Each robot has done so twice in the last 5 days, except for the one in Madrid, which didn't get a chance. As of now, London, Tokyo, Jakarta, Delhi, Cairo, Calcutta, Paris, Mexico City, Sao Paulo, Johannesburg, I need to catch my breath, Beijing, Seoul, Mumbai, Buenos Aires, Istanbul, Karachi, Bangalore, Seijen, Santiago, Kinshasa, Riyadh, Kuala Lumpur, Sydney and New York are all ghost towns. Moscow is in ruins with a population of zero. Madrid is now a crater. You may also have heard rumors that we lost one of our pilots. The rumors are true. Captain Kara Resnick is dead. She died in New York 2 days ago. We're working on a contingency plan, but it's a long shot at best. That means for now we can't use Themis for anything but transport. We can teleport her, but she can't walk, and she can't fight. Right now, she's lying in the woods covered with branches and a whole lot of camo netting. The alien robots are immune to, well, to everything we've got. Just ask India how effective their ground assault was. Russia dropped more firepower on Moscow than they did during World War II. It didn't do anything. A nuke didn't work. Let me say that again. A nuke didn't work. Half of Europe will glow in the dark for the next decade or so, but the Madrid robot's still standing. I told you people all of that the last time we met, but you didn't listen. You got scared, and you did stupid things like scared people do. You need to stop that now. Stop fighting. You can't win. They are better than us. Stronger. They have the upper hand. I see by your faces you are hoping for something a little bit more positive. There's nothing rosy about this situation. There are over 100 million dead. 100 million. Probably a lot more coming. Civil liberties have been curtailed everywhere. Most of the government's represented here have imposed some form of martial law. We're losing lives. We're losing our way of life. We're losing big time. I lost someone very close to me. He's the reason I'm standing here today. He got me into this mess. I didn't want this job. I didn't want to be a general either, but I understand the army. This? I'm a soldier. The last thing I wanted was to deal with you people. But he thought that was a good thing, and he convinced me. For those of you who know who I'm talking about, you know how convincing he could be. To be honest with you, I was really counting on him to make everything better. He won't. He's dead. Lots of people are. I came this close to losing my whole family. I didn't. I was lucky. I know some of you weren't that lucky. You have my deepest sympathy. A lot of people are grieving today. There isn't anything I could say that would make it better. The only piece of good news I have is that they've stopped killing us for now. It's been 36 hours. They stopped shooting out gas, all of them. They're not moving around. They're not doing anything. Why? I don't have a goddamn clue. Maybe they're waiting to see if we'll nuke ourselves into oblivion. How long will it last? I don't know that, either. So, why am I here? What do I want? Before I can answer that, we have to talk about the giant elephant in the room. Why should you listen to me? What good is the EDC without its only weapon? Well, I don't know if we're good for anything. I don't know that anyone is. What I do know, and what I told you before, is that if there's a solution to the goddamn mess we're in, it won't be a military one. It'll come from our science team. We don't have a big robot we can use anymore, but we still have what matters most. Smart people. Big brains. They're working, right now, in a cave, trying to save this world. Let them do their job. There might be a way to stop these things. There might be a way to neutralize that gas. Even if we can't, roughly 1 out of every 2,000 people survives it. They do more than survive. They're completely immune to the alien gas. We have no idea why. I'd call them lucky. But most of them have had to watch their loved ones die in front of them. Still, if we can replicate whatever makes them not die, well, I'm sure all of you would like to have that pill. There's a security guard in the garage at the EDC. Not sure what his name is. This morning, just before I left, he said, "You know, sir, they might just leave." Seems so goddamn naive, I felt like slapping him on the back of the head. It must have shown because he got all defensive and he said, "They might. You know what? He's right. They might just leave. Truth is, we know nothing about these people. We don't know why they're here. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know how they're thinking, and we might not understand it if we did. I'll keep working on the assumption that they won't, because it would make no sense for them to pack their bags now, but it doesn't have to make sense. If there's one thing we should have learned by now, it's that we're not the greatest thing in the universe, certainly not the smartest. Seems logical there'd be a great many things in it we can't comprehend. I do have hope. I believe there is a solution out there, waiting. There's always a solution, at least that's what I think. If we don't survive this, it's because we'll have been too stupid, too selfish, too greedy to find it. I realize I've been wrong about one thing this whole time. I've let my ego get in the way. I still think our best hope for survival is with the EDC. I thought you people were just getting in the way. I forgot that the EDC is supposed to be an extension of this room, that you're all a part of it, in a way. It was stupid of me to ask you to stand aside and do nothing. God knows I couldn't. I know you're all as vested in this as we are. I know you want to help. This morning, I've asked my people to share all the data we had on the alien gas with each and every one of your governments. You should have it by now. I know many of you are working on a cure already, but if you weren't, get your best people on it. Hell, get your worst people on it. You never know. We will also share everything we have on the alien robots, all of it. We'll make that data available to everyone. Our data should be on the EDC website this evening. Tell the world. The key to our survival might be in the hands of a really smart kid somewhere. Make sure he knows. That is what I want from you. Help us. Do not send your armies to die in vain. Do not launch more missiles. Help us. I have hope. That's all I have to say. Now go home. Go home and tell your family you love them. Tell them 10 times, 100 times. Do it while you can. And if we somehow survive this, keep doing it. In the end, it's all that really matters.
File number 1594. Interview with Vincent Couture, Consultant, Earth Defense Corps. Location, Shadow Government Bunker, Lenexa, Kansas.
You can sit down, Vincent.
Thank you, Rose. Can I still call you Rose?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. You're in his chair, you're taping this. Feels weird to have you sitting in front of me and not him.
Believe me, it feels a lot stranger being on this side of the table.
Are you sure he's dead?
I was there, Vincent.
I know, I just thought. I thought he'd be able to weasel his way out of this, twist God's arm, tell him he had nude pictures of him or something.
He was very human in the end. He really liked you, you know?
Yeah, I thought so. When I woke up in the hospital after Ryan crushed my legs into a wall, he was there sitting by my bed. He must have been sitting there for hours. He could have asked the hospital staff to call him, but he chose to stay.
For years, I tried to figure out what he had to gain. Over time, I guess I got used to the idea that he might have just cared. Then again, maybe he thought gaining my trust was important for the project. Who knows?
Probably a bit of both. But he did care. Strange as it may seem, you were the closest thing he had to family.
He called me Mr. Couture.
That was a sign of respect.
Strange man. I wish I knew something about him, who he was.
Me too.
Rose, I...
What is it?
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I'm so happy, relieved that you're here, that you're safe, but how...
How did I survive the gas? I'm not sure. Alyssa's back from London. She's analyzing my blood now. I assume I have the same genetic anomalies that every other survivor has.
Does that mean you're...
An alien? Part alien? I don't know. I guess so. I was having a hard time figuring out who I was before. This is just,
Could they have altered your DNA when they brought you back?
10 years ago, they said my genetic profile was an exact match to, to mine, to hers. They said I was me. It's possible they missed something back then. I won't know until Alyssa runs more tests. To be honest, it would be a relief, somehow, if I weren't really Rose Franklin. I know how this sounds, but I...
You'd have a reason to feel the way you do. You'd know you're not... crazy. I'm sorry, that's not what I meant.
No, no, that's exactly what I meant. Thank you. On the other hand, if I was one of them, if I had some alien blood to begin with, they would explain why they chose to bring me back from the dead.
Seems like a lot of trouble to go through to save a distant cousin. I think you guys may be wrong on this whole alien thing.
Maybe. I wish I had a better explanation. We keep talking about me, but how are you holding up?
I don't know how I feel. I'm still numb.
If anyone could cheat death, I thought it would be Kara.
I know, right? Spit in its face, kick it in the teeth. It's my fault she's dead, you know.
Vincent, there's...
No. It's true. If I'd climbed the ladder a tiny bit faster, if I hadn't been scared of heights, if I'd reached the hatch on the first try, there are so many things I could have done. I just had to get up there, what, 2-3 seconds faster? Kara would still be alive. I'd have a wife. Eva would have... someone to call Mum. But I didn't. And she fell. She's dead. She doesn't exist anymore. She was a person. Now she's not. I'm smart enough to know I haven't quite come to terms with what happened yet. I can say it. I can explain it. You know. Kara's dead. My wife's dead. But it's not real yet. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I feel like an asshole for thinking it, but what bothers me most now is not knowing what she was thinking when she fell. Did she blame me? I don't want her last thoughts to have been how her husband killed her. Awful, isn't it? How selfish is that? Moi, moi, moi. When I killed you 10 years ago...
Vincent, don't.
Please, let me finish. I've killed you, so some of this feels familiar. But with you, it hit me right away. I felt it. The pain, the guilt, the realization that you'll never feel any of what you felt with that person ever again. Might be because it's the end of the world, but it all feels like a movie now. It's muffled. I see her fall over and over again in my head. So I'm sure it'll sink in at some point. The hatch was closed, but I can see her. I don't think the image would be any clearer if I'd been watching. She's falling backwards into the void, her arms spread. She fades into a sea of white smoke. Then she's gone. Repeat. She's falling backwards into the void, her arms spread. She fades into a sea of white smoke. Repeat.
Did you cry?
Did I cry? I cried when it happened, inside Timmy's. I cried for a long time. But no, I haven't cried since. Why do you ask?
I haven't cried either. Kara's really the closest thing I had to a best friend. I could try and explain how much she meant to me, but it doesn't matter. I know. But I haven't cried. I watched a man die right in front of me, thought I was next. How many people died in New York? 2-3 million? Kara died. Today I'm here setting up the lab. All in a day's work. Don't torture yourself, Vincent. Nothing feels real anymore. Nothing. What are you smiling about?
I was thinking about Kara. It's just... oh, never mind. Stupid memories.
No, I want to know.
Did I ever tell you about our wedding night?
Tell me. Well, not everything.
Oh, I can tell you the whole thing. I spent the night with a traveling salesman, Bob. No, really, that was his name. There was a reception at the hotel after the ceremony, but as soon as people started leaving, Kara dragged me and some of her childhood friends to this bar where they used to hang out. Shitty place, but we had a good time. I danced with her friends.
Kara doesn't dance.
No, she doesn't. But she beat everyone at the pool table. Kara could play. She loved playing pool. Her friends were buying her drinks, lots of drinks. Never the same one. That's what happens when you take a bunch of grown-up people with jobs and families, and you let them pretend they're 20 years younger for a few hours. They get stupid real fast. Kara threw up on the pool table after a shot of... I don't remember what it was, something nasty. We got kicked out, of course. I had to use the conspiracy puker to talk the staff into letting us back in.
I'm sorry, the conspiracy puker.
Oh, you don't know that one?
I've never been kicked out of a bar.
I told them we were having a good time, minding our own business, when this kid with a White Sox baseball cap bumped into us and threw up on my feet, right on my shoes. I went to the bathroom to clean it up, but Kara was so grossed out she threw up herself. You know, what kind of establishment are you guys running? People throwing up on other people's shoes? This is my wedding night!
Did they let you back in?
Of course. 20 minutes later, Kara got into a fight with two guys who were harassing a girl. She didn't even know the girl. They just pissed her off. They took it outside, so we didn't get thrown out again.
Did Kara win?
What do you think? Kara can't handle her liquor, but she can take two assholes anytime. Good. But she fell on a piece of broken glass, cut her hand pretty bad. We took a cab to the hotel. We were both done for. Kara could barely walk. She was bleeding. We must have been pretty loud because we woke up Bob in the next room trying to get our door open with that stupid plastic card. He was pissed at first, but then he saw Kara's hand. It was a pretty nasty cut. He said we had to disinfect that thing and put a proper bandage on it. She'd scotch-taped a few napkins on her hand at the bar before we left. We sat in the corridor while Bob went to the lobby to get a first aid kit. They didn't have anything, so we put Kara on the couch in Bob's room, and he drove me around town looking for a CVS or anything that was open. By the time we got back, Kara was sound asleep. I tried to wake her up, but she was just gone. We cleaned her hand and put a nice white bandage on it. Well, Bob did. And we let her sleep. I stayed up with Bob. He didn't know who we were, so we emptied the minibar talking about what it's like to sell plumbing supplies across the Midwest. Fun night.
I'm sorry your wedding night didn't go as planned.
No, I meant it. It was a fun night.
I miss her. So much.
She loved you like a sister.
What about Eva? That's her name, right? How is she?
Eva's okay, I guess. She knew Kara was her mother.
How did she know?
I have no idea. I haven't talked to her about it. I figured that meant she also knew about me, that I'm her father, and I can't be that right now.
You're gonna have to be something to her, Vincent. You're all she's got.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What is it?
I'd like you to take care of her.
Oh, Vincent, this is...
Just for a while. I need to get away from all this.
She needs you.
I'm no good to her right now.
Vincent, the parents she's known all her life were killed right in front of her. Then she somehow figures out Kara's her biological mother and she has to watch her die the very next day. Now the world's coming to an end, and she's all alone in an underground military base. She needs her father, not some strange woman she's never met. She needs you, and I don't think she can wait until you get over your grief. You don't know how to be a father right now? Fine, I'm sure she has no idea how to be your daughter either. You're just going to have to figure this out together.
I'm not saying I'll give her the silent treatment for the rest of her life. I'm not ready to be her father now, today.
Vincent, I don't think you're listening. No one cares whether you're ready or not. It's not up to you. You're her father. You can't change that. What would Kara say?
That's not fair. I don't know how. I can't. I think the kid is doing better than I am anyway.
Like I said, I haven't met her yet.
You haven't asked her to try Kara Station.
She's a minor, Vincent. I would need her parents to sign off on it. That's you.
You haven't asked me either.
I was afraid you'd say yes.
You don't want her to try?
Oh, I want her to try. I'm curious, like everyone else. Part of me also wants us to put up a fight. But if it were my daughter, I wouldn't let her go anywhere near that robot.
I want to fight them, too. I don't want us to go quietly. I want to avenge Kara more than anything. But I don't want Eva's life to be just that. Violence.
What will you do?
I have no idea.
You said you needed to get away. Take her with you.
And go where?
Anywhere you want.
I could,
What?
I could maybe take her back to Canada, find a quiet place as far away from the city as possible. You know, try to give her something that feels like a normal life, even if it's only for a short while.
That's a beautiful idea.
No, it's not. It's a stupid idea. It's a movie scene, small wooden shack by a creek, young girl playing in the grass. I'm not a farmer. Even if I were, I won't buy a farm. We'll end up sleeping in my car, begging for food.
You don't have a car.
I don't have papers to cross the border with a 10-year-old either.
I'm not sure people care about these things anymore.
Oh, they care. I'm not the only one who thought Canada might be safer. There are tens of thousands of people massing at the border. So far they've used tear gas, rubber bullets, about a dozen people were killed. I don't think they're letting anyone through, even with the right papers.
You can stay here. It doesn't have a creek or grass, but it's safe, at least for the moment.
Not sure how safe it is for Eva. I don't think they'll just let her leave.
Who is they? Eugene is in Geneva trying to stop everyone from bombing their own people. It's just me running this place right now.
There's a guard on Eva's door.
Why?
You know why. We're guests here, Rose. You may be running what's left of the EDC, but this is an American base, full of American soldiers, and they don't take orders from us.
File number 1597. Interview with Mr. Burns. Occupation unknown. Location, New Dynasty Chinese Restaurant, DuPont Circle, Washington, D.C.
Good morning, Miss Franklin. Can I call you Rose? I've heard so much about you.
Of course. What do you want me to call you?
Mr. Burns will do just fine. I like to keep some anonymity, half of it anyway.
You have something in common with our mutual friend.
We have a lot more in common than you think. He will be missed. I don't know by whom, but he will be missed. I'll certainly miss his sense of humor. He was a funny guy.
I'm not sure funny guy is how I would describe him.
Maybe you just need a better sense of humor. I was surprised to get a call from you. I was even more surprised you knew about this place.
He had it in his notes.
You read his notes? I'm so jealous. What did it say?
New Dynasty, DuPont Circle, Mr. Burns, Kung Pao Chicken.
What else did it say? Do you know who killed Kennedy?
There was nothing under K.
Too bad. You should look at the menu. Our waitress will be here soon.
I assume I should have the Kung Pao Chicken.
It might not be ready. I've never been here this early. I'm surprised they're even open, given all that's going on.
I'm sorry. I really needed to talk to you.
Sure. Talk. What can I do for you, Rose Franklin?
Am I? Rose Franklin.
I certainly hope so. Otherwise, I'm at the wrong table and the lady over there looks mean. Look at her. She looks like she's about to stab someone with her fork.
She could be a really nice person. There are a lot of friendly-looking people who aren't at all.
You might be right. We do discriminate a lot based on first impressions, except for that woman. I know she's just mean. Look at those eyes. Ah, finally.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, my friend here would like the Kung Pao chicken. I'll have, what the hell, make that two. Two cooling teas.
That's coming right up.
Thank you.
You haven't answered my question.
Really? Am I Rose Franklin? You came all the way to Washington to ask me that?
He said you would...
I said I would talk to you and explain what happened as best I could. That was before people started dying by the million. But now? Boo-hoo, I'm not me. Seriously, who cares?
I care.
You know, our friend was a lot more fun. You had a car accident and you woke up a bit later than you thought you would. That's what happened to you. Can we move on?
He said I was a copy.
Oh, crap. I thought you at least could understand. If it makes you feel any better, I used the same device that brought you back to transport myself a dozen times. You don't hear me whining about it. I'm a copy of a copy.
It's important to me. I need to know.
All right. You think you have a soul. You think you're special. The idea that you could just be a big pile of matter makes you feel unimportant. Well, you're not special. No more special than any other magnificent thing in the universe.
That's not...
Don't interrupt. Just give me a sec. I have something to show you. Here. Do you know what this is?
That's a picture of the Pillars of Creation. It's a giant mass of gas and dust in the Eagle Nebula. That picture was taken by Hubble some years ago.
So you know it.
I love that picture. I was always fascinated by it.
What do you love about it?
It's a stellar nursery. The gas clouds in that region collapse on themselves to form new stars.
It's big, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
How big?
The nebula. I don't know exactly. Probably trillions of miles.
Okay, so it's a very big pile of dust. What do you find so fascinating about it?
Well, that's it. It's a huge cloud, larger than anything we can imagine. Yet it's just a tiny speck in the universe, and it spits out stars. Stars that will have planets.
And some of these planets will have life. And some of that life will be sentient.
Yes, it's awe-inspiring. It's
God?
Maybe.
It's also gone, you know. The Pillars of Creation, they were probably long gone by the time the light from it made it all the way here for that picture.
Probably.
Well, you, Rose Franklin, are made of the exact same stuff as the Pillars of Creation. No more, no less. That's how special and insignificant you are. That's all I'm going to say about it. I hope that's enough for you to learn to live with your soulless self. I and some associates of mine took a high-resolution scan of you when you got into that car crash.
You were there?
I held your head so you wouldn't bang it on the door. After you died, we used that scan to reconstruct you. Whether or not you existed before makes absolutely no difference. I swear to you, you are as much who you are as you ever were. Yes?
Do you always carry a picture of the Eagle Nebula in your wallet?
I do.
Why?
I like the colors. Can we talk about something fun now? I really miss the other guy, you know?
Why save me? Why bring me back?
Let me think. So that you'd be less dead. I think that was the idea.
But why me?
I'm beginning to wonder myself. Because you're important.
He told me the same thing before he died. I'm not. I'm not a messiah. You just told me I'm not special at all. Insignificant, you said.
I didn't say you were the second coming. Maybe important wasn't the right word. Useful? How's that? Are you okay with being useful?
Useful? How? I know this has something to do with the aliens coming, but I'm not smart enough to do this on my own.
Well, you're not that smart, but you are smart enough. Just enough. This isn't an intelligence contest, you know. If we wanted a genius, we would have picked your colleague. Alyssa, what's her name?
You picked me?
Jeez Louise, you're really not that smart. No wonder we had to help you.
Help me?
It never struck you as convenient that you fell on a giant hand as a child, that you ended up studying that same hand as part of your very first job.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that A-minus students from one of the most unrecognized schools in the country aren't often admitted to major research universities.
You mean you got me in at the U of C?
Getting you into the right school was the easy part. Getting you to study physics...
I don't believe you. I always liked science ever since I can remember.
You were good at it. We just made sure you had the opportunity to figure that out. You can't talk now. I was done with that sentence.
You just told me I don't have a soul. That it doesn't matter if I'm a copy or not. That my entire life has been orchestrated for me and that I didn't really deserve any of the things I'm most proud of. I'm not certain how I'm supposed to react.
Meh, deserve, schmisserve. You're allowed to be proud. You did all the things you did on your own. I didn't do your homework for you. I didn't find that robot. You just needed a little nudge from time to point you in the right direction.
But why me? Why am I useful?
Oh, I wasn't going to tell you more, but now that you asked me twice... Now, do you have anything interesting to ask me? You know, something that might not be entirely about you.
Why did the alien robots stop moving around? Why did they stop shooting gas?
That is an interesting question.
Then why?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them. Maybe they're on a break. Maybe they're unionized. Maybe they're giving you a chance to respond.
I don't understand. To respond to what?
How should I know? But they're killing a whole lot of people. They must have a reason.
They might be angry that we used Themis in North Korea. He thought they didn't want us to kill one another with their weapon. They might be angry just because we have her. Maybe we weren't supposed to find Themis.
Like I told our friend, they couldn't care less whether you kill one another with or without their weapon. Besides, it would be pretty stupid to kill millions of people because you might kill some people. They really don't like to interfere in the affairs of others.
They don't like to interfere? They're wiping us out. I'd call that interference.
Then maybe they're looking for an excuse to stop.
Why do I get the feeling you want to help us, but you also don't want to help us?
That sentence makes absolutely no sense. Do you know the story of the fisherman and the seagull?
Please, I would love to hear it.
Oh, now I'm beginning to like you. Here it goes. There was a king crab fisherman in Alaska. Every morning during the fall, he took his little fishing boat to sea to catch some king crab. He and his crew would visit every spot where they had dropped a trap. They call them pots. Lift it up, grab the crabs that were the right size, throw in some bait, and send the pot back to the bottom. One day, the fisherman was sorting through the crabs in a pot when he noticed one of the little crabs, the ones that get thrown back in, wasn't a crab at all. It was an oyster. The fisherman opened it and, lo and behold, found the most beautiful pearl inside. He thought of how the pearl would change his life, of everything he would buy for his wife and kids. Then he put the pearl in a small box next to the boat's wheel and went on with his day. While he was sorting through another pot of crabs, a seagull landed on the ship's wheel, grabbed the pearl from the box with its beak, and flew away before the fisherman could do anything about it. He was destroyed. His dreams were crushed. Soon, his despair turned to anger. He became convinced that the seagull had stolen the pearl only to hurt him, that all seagulls were creatures of evil, feathered demons out to steal the dreams of man. Of course, the seagull just thought it was a piece of food it could feed its newborns with. Back at the nest, none of the baby seagulls were able to chew the pearl, so it just lay there, something shiny for the baby birds to look at while waiting for Mom and Dad to return. The fisherman tried shooting at the birds, but the first shot he missed scared them away. They still circled the boat, but kept their distance from whatever made that loud noise. He tried setting traps, but he wasn't really good at it, and the seagulls always managed to leave with the bait unscathed. The fisherman tried a slingshot, ended up hurting his hand. He tried aiming fireworks at them. Yep, that was a stupid idea. Finally, after he took care of the burns on his hands, the fisherman brought